Hey, gang, do you find yourself listening to your music on one app and then listening to your podcast on another app? If you do, stop this insane behavior right now and download Spotify. Spotify is home to all of your favorite music and all of your favorite podcasts. Podcasts including Fly on the Wall, the Saturday Night Live podcast with Dana Carvey and David Spade, the Rock on Tours podcast with Gary Kemp and Guy Pratt, old favorites like Fresh Air, My Favorite Murder, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Look, if you're looking for a news podcast or sports or entertainment or true crime, look, if you're looking for a sewing podcast or an RV podcast, Spotify has all of this for you. That's Spotify. All of your favorite music and all of your favorite podcasts in one place. Find it in your app store and start listening today. That's Spotify, music and podcasts. Let's get down. I'm Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you guys all had a good weekend, whatever it is you did this weekend. Gorgeous weekend here in Austin. It was beautiful. I actually played, I was saying it was Dripping Springs, Texas, but it's Driftwood, Texas. Skyrocket played at Mercer Dance Hall in Driftwood, Texas. And it was great, man. You know what's so weird is you go out there to play those shows and you look at your Facebook events and you try and see, get a vibe about how many people are going. And there was like 20 people going, and it was pretty depressing. It was looking pretty sad. We were boosting it and trying to post shit on our Skyrocket page and on our personal pages and on our stories, and you know what I mean? Try and do that band thing, like, hey, let's get some people out to the show so we can make some money and do the thing. You get there, and it's fucking packed. So they have their own social network. Maybe they're texting each other. Maybe it's a friends thing where people are like, oh, hey, Skyrocket's coming. But it was a fucking great show. The energy was awesome. I thought the band was really good. We were exceptionally loud. I felt like everyone was digging in a little bit more than normal, leaning into it a little bit more, exploding with rock and roll. It was really fun. Sunday, I got to sit down with my old friend Dominique Davalos from the Blue Bonnets, and also from my Lady Band Johnson, formerly Johnny in the Ladies Room. That's been around for now like 13 years. Even though we haven't played in like 5 years, we're still around. But we finished a song that we wrote that hopefully will be on an upcoming Blue Bonnets album. Because they're gathering songs and stuff. And Dominique and I had started a song about 4 or 5 years ago. And they were like, hey, why don't you guys fix this bridge and maybe we'll consider using it. So we did, and it was a lot of fun. It was great hanging out with Dominique. I had a great walk with Rosie yesterday. It was a beautiful, beautiful day. Beautiful. It was gorgeous, gorgeous day. I had the doors, windows open all day, and I was like cleaning the house and like Swiffer wet jetting. Hey, gang, I wanted to let you know about a very special event that I am very, very honored to host. That is Austin Music Foundation's Music Maker Revival, a marquee benefit concert and fundraiser celebrating Austin Music Foundation's 21 years of service to music creatives in our community on Thursday, February 23rd at Geraldine's Hotel Van Zandt here in Austin. All money raised from ticket sales and throughout the evening directly benefit Austin Music Foundation and its programs, of which one of them I am a part of, the Artist Development Program. I've been working on that for like 6 years. It's been a great time. Music Maker Revival at Geraldine's Hotel Van Zandt will boast a one-night-only all-star Austin house band featuring a rotating list of special guests playing their arrangements of 80s and 90s hits we all know and love. Live music performances featuring Tamika Jones, Quentin Arispe, Angelica Rey, Damar Williams, Nagavalli, Aaron Stevens, Anastasia Hera, Kate Priestley from Austin Music Foundation, who I love so much, Akina Adderley, The Reverend Few, Babu Blakes, and just added very special guest, Love and Chaos, featuring my dear friends AJ Vallejo and Kendall Beard. There's going to be silent auctions with great trips to Costa Rica, Iceland, Greek Islands, and so much more. So much more. Go to Austin Music Foundation for tickets, for more information on the event. As I said, I will be hosting it. I will be there being the MC. I'll be up on stage a few times making some announcements and letting people know what's going on and what's coming up. But it should be a really fun night celebrating such a great foundation that's done so much for the music community here in Austin. And I'm very honored to have been a part of it for the last 6 years doing the artist development program with my dear friends Einar and Alex Vallejo. And of course, the whole team there, Jenny, the great Kate Priestley. And I can't not say Frenchie, who does the records with us, Chris Frenchie Smith over at the Bubble. Anyway, it takes a village to help this community grow. And we're going to be celebrating that village with our village and community this Thursday, February 23rd at Geraldine's at Hotel Van Zandt. Come on out. Do it. Gang, I have a great show for you guys today. Let me just start with this. With this artist that I'll be talking to, the message is love and the music is funk. My dear old friend, Henry Invisible, who I know as Henry Rowland, is my guest on the show. He's been dropping singles for the last year and a half, and his latest one that just came out on February 3rd, Ain't Easy, is fucking awesome, dude. I think it is my summer jam. Go check out all of his new singles, Never Stop, Space and Time, High Life. If you don't know who I'm talking about, Henry Invisible, he does all kinds of shows. He is just, he's a one-man extravaganza. The guy spent, I guess, the last 3 years doing his love streams that started during the pandemic, that he started doing live streams where he would do totally improvisational music and ended up composing over 100 songs on his weekly love streams during the pandemic. And now he's putting out all of these singles that are part of a bigger collection of music that will be coming later on in the year. If you don't know who Henry is, you might have seen him opening for bands like Parliament Funkadelic or Gary Clark Jr., tons and tons of people. Henry is amazing. In the 90s, he was in a band called Gingerbread Men, and my band, Mr. Rocket Baby, did a lot of shows with them, and my band, Johnny Gotti, we actually did a weekly show with them. I think it was every Thursday, like in 95 or 96, for a few months, quite a few months. Anyway, fantastic entertainer, fantastic songwriter. This song, Ain't Easy, I think is my summer jam, and that's weird to announce in February. It's weird to announce that in February, but I'm starting to feel a little more comfortable with my taste. I think when I hear something and I'm like, that's my shit, I think I know. I think that's one of the things that happens when you get older. You can really nail what you like. I don't know what that sounded really dirty. Anyway, my dear old friend Henry, he's having a great show this Friday here in Austin, February 24th at the Continental Club, playing with our good friend Nick Parr from Selfless Lovers. Go to henryinvisible.com to find out more about the show. That's this Friday, February 24th here in Austin, Texas at the Continental Club with our old friend Nick Parr. Love that guy. Love that guy. Anyway, Henry and I have a great conversation about what he's been doing for the last few years and sort of developing this one-man show and this one-man band and this one-man all-inclusive creative unit, Henry Invisible. We have such a great conversation about it and great catching up with him. This is me and Henry chatting it up, catching up, and doing it all. Let's get down. I can't tell if I have allergies or if I'm, you know what I mean? That weird feeling, right? You have that weird thing in the back of your throat.
I hope you feel better soon, man. There's so much stuff blowing in the wind with all these trees everywhere and stuff. So.
No shit. Dude, wow, are those all your records behind you?
No, this is a green screen.
Oh, dude.
Check it out. Check this out. I've got... some really cool, visuals and stuff for these performances.
Yeah.
So, but I always try to find something that's a little, in the vibe of what it is. So yeah. I thought this was kind of cool.
Yeah, no, it's cool as shit. That's where you were doing your love streams?
Yes, sir. This is where it is. This is where it's all the magic's happened. And
are you still doing
we
them?
We just did episode... Huh?
You're still doing them.
Yeah. I slowed down, obviously, because we're back to work, right? But I just did one this last Friday. We're going to do another one this Thursday. We're at episode 140.
Wow.
And the show's kind of changed too, Johnny. It's like during the pandemic, I was writing songs live.
Right.
And now it's like, I don't really need to write that much more now. So it's like, I just go ahead and perform now, you know.
Well, I was reading, you ended up writing over 100 songs during that, right?
Yes. Yes. Actually, wow. Yeah. So like right about episode 120 or so, I stopped writing because it was just getting a little bit too much because, you know, I need to record these things. And a lot of the ideas were just sketches. So I figured this would be a good stopping point. And yeah, I came out with, I kind of whittled it down and I think I've got like, you know, 50 tunes that I'm pretty proud of. So wow. out of the 100, you know, some of them are jams or whatever, but a lot of what I'm releasing now is from the Love Stream.
Really? All right. Well, let's talk about that stuff you're releasing now, because first of all, you have a brand new single out, Ain't Easy. Great. It's a great song.
Thank you.
My only concern is that you released it in February and I kind of feel like it's going to be my summer jam.
that's a great concern though.
Yeah. I think I might put it aside and pull it back out in May.
Please do.
Start rocking it on the legs. But no, I love this song, you know? And it's funny because there's a lot of comparisons. There's one that really stands out to me, especially on this song. It has the vibe. It doesn't sound like, and it's not like you're ripping anything off, but it has the vibe of like the feeling you have in a great Sly and the Family Stone song.
Cool, man.
You know?
I'll take it.
That
I love
uplifting
Sly.
Funk.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's different. It's kind of a different sound. This whole record that I'm producing, I mean, I guess it's kind of spawned from pandemic times and, you know, a lot of the lyrics are a little bit more provoked by those feelings. And so, there's this one. And like I said, there's a whole bunch of them that are coming out. I think you're really going to enjoy the next one though. Cause I know you like a good rocker and this is like,
I like them all. I mean, I really do. Like, I really like that song High Life that has like the weird, vocoder thing.
Yeah. The vocoder.
Dude, all these songs are just, it must feel good to be able to create music that feels so good. You know what I mean?
Well, for the longest time, I was all about like trying to make music, you know, design music for feel good so that like the dance floor would get to hop in. And during that pandemic, you know, High Life was one of those tunes that was written during that time. You know, I was just trying to bring up the vibe a little bit because there was so much going on and so many questions. And so, yeah, it was all about kind of just promoting some really happy times. And then, you know, Ain't Easy, kind of the same thing, but a little different angle, you know? So,
all right. So you do this just all by yourself in house. You record it on your own, mix it yourself.
Yes.
It's a one man operation.
Absolutely. And I've, you know, over the years and over the releases, I've gotten a little, I'm not going for speed, but I've gotten a little bit more, I guess I can facilitate a little faster through the software and stuff. So now I'm actually doing my mastering because that was the final bit. That was the final bit for me. Like,
I paid everyone out of
really
work, man.
Well,
I'm just joking.
I mean, don't get me wrong. There are definitely some people I want to work with too, but like, I was kind of outsourcing the mastering and then I figured, okay, so what is it? Like, what is the big mystery of mastering? And so I started studying that and
what is
you
it?
Know, with the, well, with the software, well, here's what I found out. I gotta be honest. Mastering is certainly different than mixing your song.
100%.
Right. So by the time it gets to that mastering level, you're not making like big moves anymore. You're not doing cuts anymore. You're not, you know, frequency cuts and stuff. And all that stuff has to be in place by the time you get to that level. And that's just a whole different thing. And then with mastering all together, it really is just making that low end and that high end kind of sing together in sync. And I think when I really started getting into it and I started listening to a lot of records and just comparing mine to that, and by no means am I there yet, but I was pretty proud of this Ain't Easy. I mean, it actually sounds really nice, and it translated to a lot of different systems. So, yeah.
That's the weird thing is, you must have to look at it also like in a playlist situation, like one would look at the radio. Like, is this going to be at the same? You know what I mean? Like, you don't want to have the song that sounds small after a big song. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, you know, and not getting into the loudness war with this song, but like I placed it up to songs that I really love, and it was definitely competitive and without totally squashing it. Cause like there are some compression tricks that you could just slam the hell out of it and then it's super loud, but you know, it takes away a lot of the emotion of the song. And I thought,
right.
There's an equilibrium there, you know?
Yeah, records can be kind of ruined in mastering. Like I did some singles a couple years ago and I experimented with the mastering guy and it came back like so like harsh sounding that I was like, I don't know, man.
Yeah. And that's what you paid for, right? So,
well, you know, the cool thing is when I said, I don't know, man, he was like, you want me to do it again? And I was like, I don't think that we're hearing this the same. Like it was so far off. I was like, no. And not in a bad way. Just like, I don't think you're my guy. And he was like, no problem, man. No harm, no foul. Here's your Venmo back. It's pretty cool. Like he sent the money back.
Well, that worked out pretty well. I mean, that happened to me with actually, CD Baby mastering when I was trying to figure out, you know, who to work with. And it came back and it didn't sound like the same song. And I know that is not the job of the mastering engineer.
Right.
So, right. You know, it's supposed to come back just enhanced of what you did. I don't think they're actually supposed to really make it sound that bizarrely different. So, but I did work with Greg Rearson, who did, some Prince records, and he worked with a number of people, really. I think Lightning Hopkins, he did some mastering for him, and he did a really fabulous job. So that's kind of what I was based, like, I was thinking, okay, if his sounds like this, how close can I get it to that? And that was really my guide, I guess.
Right. So, okay, there was a question I was trying to get to earlier, but I sidetracked myself. We sidetracked. Is that you're a one guy now, like you don't even go to a mastering guy's place and sit there and, yeah. Do you get lonely? Like, I mean, it does. I mean, as a solo artist, I get lonely sitting, like, I don't have a band sitting around thinking about shit like you used to in the 90s. It's just you sitting by yourself. Go walking on the trail or something. You know what I mean?
Well, no, not really. I don't get lonely because I've got this really cool performance coming up with the Purple Bee crew at the Utopia Fest, and that's going to be a whole collaboration with a band. And you know our history. I mean, I've been in bands my whole life. You know, Gingerbread Men was anywhere from 7 to 13 pieces sometimes, and and then there was, you know, the many other bands that I was in, many rock bands and whatever ensembles. So at this point in my career, I find it just, it's a really interesting thing to produce music and see how far I can take it. That being said though, like I do see probably at some point that I would hire some musicians to play some of this stuff live bigger. Than what I'm doing already.
Right.
I think it sounds great, but it is fun to collaborate with people, but I don't think about it often.
Well, there's that sort of thing, like, you remember that great Fatboy Slim record?
Mm-hmm.
From like 1999 or whatever, 1998? I'm drawing a blank on the name. But like, I don't want to hear a band play that record. You know
exactly.
What I mean? I like the vibe. I like the vibe of your stuff. Has its own. It's so you really, like, it's interesting because as a guy that's watched you this whole time since the Gingerbread, for those of you listening, like, we had a residency together in like 1994, 1995 or something. Every week at Steamboat here in Austin, and we did shows like that before together, and I'd seen you guys play around town. And you watch someone grow into this thing that is so it's unique. I mean, it does hearken to you're influenced by stuff, but maybe you're influenced by so much stuff by the time it comes out of you, it sounds totally unique. But it's like, it's fucking really unique, man.
Thank you very much, Johnny. I really appreciate that coming from you. And great musician.
You've really been able to, like, bottle not just like a sound, but like a vibe as well. You know what I mean? And that's really like it's a whole package, which is so hard to do.
Well, I appreciate it. You know, I think it might have been my roles in the bands, because Gingerbread Man, you know, I was the front guy, the singer, right, guitar player.
Right.
And Johnny and I did a lot of collaboration on writing and stuff. And then in many of the other bands, I was also that role. And I think so coming into the one person band, you know, it wasn't that difficult for me to fathom, because, you know, I'd always been in that chair. So, yeah, I think the biggest challenge in the beginning was I used to loop every single bit of it live. And
right.
I'll still do that, like, for a number of songs in a live set, because it is fun to watch and it's like this whole thing. But now I'm also looping on top of productions that I've, you know, got in here and tracked and stuff. And so, you know, you always got to keep it true to what you're doing, the live looping thing. And then you've also got to move a show. So
right.
I think that was the biggest challenge for, like, you know, a while, but
yeah.
I think at this point it's gotten a lot more polished.
I remember when the looping thing first started, you'd go see a guy play by himself and he'd play like four songs in an hour, because he'd have to watch it. By the time he started singing the verse, you'd been through like the length of like two songs already. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it can put you to sleep too. I mean, if it's really hypnotic droning kind of stuff, I mean, you know.
Well, especially if it's like a non-super, like if it's just like a singer-songwriter guy with not with like cool rhythm ideas where it's just like building tune tune cha tune 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 cha tune 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 cha, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I mean, you know, I think we talked about this before, but my first show in looping was a water jug and an acoustic guitar and a bass.
Well, see, at least you're always thinking outside the box. At least there's a water jug involved. That's interesting.
And then I pulled a sauce pot, you know, like a saucepan. Like, do, 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 and I would make noises. And it was kind of fun, this whole construction of odd objects. And but then I started really thinking, okay, well, how far can I take this, you know? Because I wasn't very proficient at the piano when I started the project, but... you know, I've been practicing for years now. So I think with the keys, you know, added, you can do synths, you can do strings, you can do all kinds of things. You can do drum sets on this thing too.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then I traded out my water jug for an octopad, which, you know, it's got the,
yeah,
more of the percussion stuff,
yeah.
But I don't know. It's been a really cool challenge. And a lot of fun doing it. And I have to say that musically, I never really thought I was going to do it, but I'm glad I did, because it's really opened me up to a lot of different horizons musically. I didn't know how much I love the bass guitar, honestly.
Yeah.
I truly love a good bass line.
Yeah.
And so to me, that's something that I may not have found had I never, you know, challenged myself.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's cool because you're able to, you're not settling it. Like, it seems like with each release or group of releases or however it is you're doing it, like with each year that passes, you move a little deeper and further out at the same time. You know what I mean? Which is pretty cool.
Thank you. Yeah, I think this chapter of my songwriting and career is really... my personal favorite so far. I think I think for me, it's like I had written a lot of poetry that was kind of looking for a home, and these new songs really tap into that a lot more. I think finally, like it feels really freeing to be this kind of artist where, you know, the messages and the grooves they're coming together a little bit more. It's not only about, you know, get on the dance floor and let's party, you know.
Right, right.
This stuff has a message, and it's my favorite kind of music.
Well, really. There's songs too. It's not just like EDM. There was some EDM that there was no song involved, which like a lot of times there's somebody like, that's usually what gets me, is some kind of melody, some kind of groove, some kind of vibe. That's cool. But I do need some kind of song. And that's why, as far as like dance music goes, I was always so attracted to like disco, because you had people like the Bee Gees writing songs, like, you know, great songs being written, you know?
Yeah, like today I would say like Little Dragon is one of my favorite artists, because the way they do dance grooves, and then her lyrics are always something you have to listen to like four or five times. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
To kind of get that message. And, you know, David Bowie is certainly one of my favorite artists of all time. And have you seen Moon Age Daydream, by the way?
Unbelievable.
Incredible.
Yeah.
And so I've kind of been watching that one on a repeat. And to me, that kind of artist is something that, you know, definitely stands the test of time. And, you know, I want this music to be around for way longer than me. So that's where this is going. It's basically, I'm writing songs that I could be happy to hear another 30, 40 years from now or something.
Yeah, man. Do you play a lot of private stuff?
Absolutely. In fact, most of my gigs are private.
Yeah.
It's been a lot of private events for the last 2 years. But now that I'm releasing a lot more music, I am going to be playing more publicly. I've got a big show at Continental coming up.
Friday, February 24th, baby. Yeah, I'm going to put this out before that so that people come out with the fabulous Nick Parr.
Yeah, man, my buddy Nick, he's awesome.
He's a good dude, man.
Definitely. He invited me to be on the bill, and I was very excited about it because I've never actually played at the Continental. And
really?
I have not. I've played practically every venue in this town, but I have not played the Continental. And so...
Wow, this should be some kind of like celebration. Like...
Yeah, I'll be celebrating the new single, and some of my new works. I'm definitely going to be sharing a lot of new music that night, as well as some classic Henry Invisible stuff. But I'm excited about it, you know, and what else can I say about that? I mean, so this year I'm geared to do a lot more live performance.
That's great.
Again,
public ones that people can go to. Yeah. Great, public man. Well, I'm going to be out of town for that 24th, but I'd love to come out and see you and see where you're at right now. Are you doing South By?
Not officially, no. And typically I'll get a call about a party or something, but I've got one or two things that are like underground in the works. I did the official showcase last year. It was pretty cool, but not this year, no.
Yeah. I guess you can't do it every year, can you? Are there people that do every year?
I don't know, but I will say that it's enjoyable to do like the parties and stuff, and I dig it. But like, man, I played Half Step last year, and the production team was awesome. The sound guys were great. Everything worked out very well. There was a large attendance. It was great. But I paid like $90 for parking.
Yeah. Yeah. That is a bitch.
And it was mayhem too. Like, it was just insanity. So I'm like, yeah, I kind of like playing at these other parties where, you know, it's just a little easier and the big party that was already there kind of thing. And But I don't know. I mean, you know, I'm open to all things. I did not apply this year. So
yeah. So. You know where I live on Riverside, right?
Yeah.
A few years ago I did this day party at Hotel Vegas, and I went and dropped off my gear and I couldn't find a parking space. So I just came home and walked down there and then packed up my gear, walked home, got my car and went and picked it up.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good walk too.
It wasn't that bad, but it was a good walk. Luckily I went a couple hours early.
Was it like 5 miles or something? Three or five miles?
No, like maybe 2.5.
Okay.
Maybe 3.
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah, man. That's South By, man. It gets you.
It's cool. There are a lot of great networking experiences, opportunities. It's always cool to do that stuff.
Yeah. So you said you're doing Utopia Fest?
I am, yeah.
That'll be great.
And it is the finale, apparently.
The finale of Utopia, it's over?
Yeah, I think both Travis and Wayne are going to be focusing on their venue now that they have opened in Buda.
Oh.
And it's called the Meridian, and it is essentially attached to their grocery store that Zoe Market or Zoe Market.
I don't know anything about this.
Oh, it's really cool. It's very cool. The market is like an apothecary of sorts. I mean, they've got like all kinds of, oils and they also do a lot of, Whole Foods and stuff. And then right next to it, they built a music venue. They've been hosting events over the last couple of years in their backyard of this market. And so they just went ahead and leased the place next to it.
Right, right.
And it's on the corner. It's on the corner of a main street in Buda, in a historical building, and the acoustics are fabulous. It's like a wooden floor, aged wood, and yeah, it's very nice. I'm actually playing there this Saturday. And it's open to the public, but it is an event that's kind of celebrating an anniversary of a couple that often attends to Utopia.
Nice.
But yeah, this year I'm very excited about the Utopia. I'm also the band leader or a main collaborator with Purple Bee.
Oh yeah, you were saying.
And
that.
Yeah, and we're doing what they call the Utopia Players. So every year Travis would reach out to certain artists to form a group.
Yeah.
And I chose to form with Purple Bee. They're fantastic musicians, and I love these guys. So we did some songs last year at the festival, so this should be really cool. It's going to be a great weekend, though. May the 4th. May the 4th be with you.
May the 4th be with you. That's awesome, man. And the first Continental Club gig, Friday, February 24th, that's going to be really fun, man.
Yeah. I've attended many shows there, just never played there.
So. Yeah. Well, and you go on at 9:30?
I do.
Okay, great.
Yep. I go on at 9:30. Nick goes on right after that, so probably about 10:45 or so.
Yeah. Well, man, people need to get out there and check out all of these singles. But It Ain't Easy, but Ain't Easy is the latest one. People can go to henryinvisible.com, find you on Spotify and all the places where people find the music, people, and get out and see a show. It's been great catching up.
Yeah.
Sorry I'm not in the best of health.
Oh no! I hope you feel 100 by today.
Yeah, by Saturday. I don't have to play till Saturday. Do you have that thing where you like you don't care? Like if you get sick and you don't have to play, you're like, fuck, I don't care. But if it's like even remotely close to when you have to play, it's like the end of the world. Like I really don't care. Like I'm grateful when I get sick and it's not knocking me out. Like I don't have to sing.
Yeah, I've done a few of these shows, and it typically happens in March around South By at some big party where like the pollen in the air just makes me lose my voice completely.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
And you feel so bad for the fans because you're like, oh, they came out here and you know, I sound like this.
Yeah.
But the allergy pills though, man.
Allergy pills. I just started taking Flonase. I switched mine up.
Yeah.
That's what I did to shock the system.
I'm a Zyrtec guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I was doing Zyrtec for like the last 6 months, but I felt like it wasn't really working as well anymore. All right, everyone get out there and check out Henry Invisible. Ain't easy. I'm pretty sure that's going to be my summer jam. I mean, I'm announcing that at the beginning of February, but we'll see if it sticks. And honestly, man, this is all great stuff. I can't wait to hear the rest of it.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it, man.
Yeah,
and
man.
I look forward to giving you more music.
Thank you, brother.
Soon.
Great having you on the show again.
Yes, sir.
All right, brother.
Peace.
Gang, that was my dear old friend, Henry Invisible. Find him at henryinvisible.com. Check out his latest single, Ain't Easy. Fantastic song that you're hearing right now. I think it is my summer jam, gang. I'm not lying. Catch him this Friday, February 24th, here in Austin at the Continental Club with our dear friend, Nick Parr, from Nick Parr and the Selfless Lovers. All right? Go to henryinvisible.com for all of your Henry Invisible needs. Gang, don't forget, if you're out there checking out henryinvisible.com, that you can subscribe to this podcast wherever it is that you find podcasts, be it Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Overcast, Stitcher, anywhere. New shows every Tuesday and every Friday. Dropping more from the vault episodes on Saturday nights late. All right? Let's hear the rest of this song, Ain't Easy, from Henry Invisible. See him this Friday, February 24th at the Continental Club here in Austin. And gang, have a great week. I love you. Let's get down.
Left unresolved, so the world still calls.